As we go to Mark chapter 4, I do want to tell you about a thing that just dawned on me, a benefit of this mask. I know it saves lives, but another thing it does is it saves time in the morning. You probably didn't know about this. All you have to do nowadays is you just have to roll out of bed. You don't even have to brush your teeth. You just have to put it on. And then they got these other ones that are even longer. You don't even have to shave, guys. You just put it on. So, of course, I'm kidding. But it is nice. You know, you can really check your breath. And I was like, wow, you know, this helps me out. I gotta get some mints in. But anyway, Mark chapter 4. Just be seated. I'll go ahead and read this. If you can just read along with me on this. Before I start, I'd just like to say that, you know, I thank you for David running the show here. It's not really a show, but running the service, and obviously our pastor, which we deeply miss, and we really appreciate him and his family, and he's a humble man. I know he doesn't want us to talk about him, but he is a humble man, and he just trying to do what's right, and we really appreciate that, members of the church. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, the Bible reads in verse 35, "In the same city, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships." Verse 37, "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the service tonight. Thank you for a wonderful crowd here, Lord. And I know we couldn't have everybody here due to the occupancy limitations, Lord. I pray for all those that are watching it online, the stream, or watching the replay now or in weeks ahead of time, Lord. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for Brother Pritchett and his family, Lord. I thank you that you've given those servants to this church, Lord. And I pray for this message, Lord, as this has worked on my heart. And I pray, Lord, that it works on others in their lives, Lord. In your name, amen. Have you ever been in a storm before? Driving in your car, and as you're driving, you can't see through the windshield. And it's just, I mean, you can't stop. Every once in a while, you'll see a vehicle pulled underneath an overpass. But have you ever yourself driven and you cannot see? Your windshield wipers are on full blast. Has that happened to anybody here? Just me? Okay, a few of you, all of you, almost all of you that live in Wisconsin. It's scary. It's fearful. But you know the amazing part about that is you're in a nice, cozy, warm, or cool car, depending on the weather, right? These disciples, they were on a ship. And they were with Jesus, yes. But evidently they didn't know that Jesus could just rebuke the wind and he can calm the storm. They didn't know that. They didn't have that kind of faith yet, right? We would probably have been the same type of disciples. But anyway, I just think of a time in my life when I was driving in my vehicle, and it's happened a couple times, and the windshield wipers are on so fast and quick, and I still can't see out. And it's kind of scary. And then what's scary enough is you'll have other people that fly past you, and you're like, what's going on here? But some of us seasoned adults that have been driving a long time, you know, we think we can handle it, right? And then, you know, we hope our T teenage daughter or son or somebody doesn't go through the same thing, right? That would probably scare us half to death. But anyway, as I introduce this sermon here, these waves were coming at the boat. And the Bible said it started filling up the boat. And they were scared. And they were full of fear. And I'd like to see here in the Bible and go through these verses how we can react to this. Number one, waves are going to beat against your ship. Waves are going to beat against your ship. Let's look at verse 37. Chapter 4, verse 37 of Mark. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Okay? Waves coming. So again, many of you have driven in your vehicle, and it's rained hard, and you couldn't see out that windshield. But has anybody in here been in a boat in the middle of any type of storm? Small storm, big storm. Has that happened to anybody here? Okay, a few of you, okay? And I'm sure it was just a piece of cake, right? It was, you know, I know somebody that's a fisherman that always fishes, but as soon as he checks the weather and the weather's bad, he's not even on the lake or the ocean or whatever. But I can't imagine being in a storm, on the water, moving around, and having this happen to you. And here we have the great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, and now it was full. These men, most of them were professional fishermen. I mean, they were fishermen. They were on boats every day. And in my opinion, I kind of think that maybe they've been caught in storms before. I mean, this is my opinion. This is not what it says in the Bible. So I'm assuming that they are kind of a lot more prepared than I am. And so when the storm happened, they probably maybe were okay at first. But all of a sudden, the water started filling the boat. They got scared. They got fearful. In life, as those waves hit the boat, in life, we're going to have waves hit our boat, our ship. I remember back a few years ago, I lost a job all of a sudden. Had a family, had probably three or four kids at the time. It's a little bit easier when it's just yourself living with mom and dad. Or maybe you have a wife to support, or maybe you need the two incomes to be able to provide for everything. We all have different circumstances in our life. But losing that job and trying to figure out what I was going to do. God gave me a job the very next Monday, you know, the job ended on a Friday. I got a job on Monday. Now, it was a big, big pay cut, but I thank God for that. But sometimes you're going to be having those waves of life hit you. Another thing I could think of is somebody in our church has a father that doesn't live in Wisconsin, and this father, I believe, had a heart attack last year, the year before, and kind of scared him and everything. And then all of a sudden this year, his father had COVID, and it was really hard on him. His lungs and everything was really tough. And he had this heart attack prior. But God has so far allowed him to clear it up so far, and we pray that that continues to be the case. There's all these different circumstances in our life. There's all these waves that are happening in our lives. Losing a job, and maybe coworker problems, maybe spouse problems, maybe girlfriend or boyfriend problems. Different things in our lives that we feel that, man, we can't take it anymore. We can't go any longer. Maybe it's our father or our mother having health problems. I remember my grandfather, you know, I was dearly close to him there in California, and all of a sudden he had a massive stroke, and this is many, many, many years ago, and we were at the hospital, and at that time, obviously, we could go and see him. And I remember as a teenage boy going into my bedroom, and I never forget, you know, I don't really cry a lot. And I remember on my bed just weeping, crying that was my grandfather that I really loved and had a relationship and I really missed him and all these different things. And God allowed him to live another probably 15, 20 years before he took him. But some of these things in our life, usually it hurts a lot more when people are closer to us, right? You know, if we have a long distant cousin or grandparent that we don't know that well, or somebody, it doesn't really mean a lot to us, but if we're really close to them and we spend time with them, or they were a big impact in our life, that means a lot. And as that wave comes against our boat, Man, we're scared, we're fearful, we're sad, we're depressed, all these different things. But as we see in point number two, Jesus is in your ship. And he's not going to leave you. Let's look at Mark 4:36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Jesus in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm. Jesus was with them. Before this, Jesus was doing miracles. He was healing people. The disciples, they were handpicked. They were with him. Big crowds, even before this, about two chapters prior, Jesus said, "Hey, please go get me a boat. I need a boat because this crowd is getting so big. I'm healing these people. I need this boat because these people might be thronging me and trying to get a piece of me." And Jesus said, "Hey, get that boat ready. Get it prepared." When someone starts healing people, I mean, and it works, people start coming, right? That's why these days there's no one out there really, really, really healing people and it working that we know of, right? Or they would be surrounded and people would not go away, right? We have a couple actors healing people. But Jesus was healing people. And he had huge crowds because of it. Because he's God. And as we see, the multitude was going to surround him. And later on, they sent away the multitude. But Jesus is in your ship. No matter what you're going through, no matter what trial, no matter what situation, Jesus is with you. If you have trusted Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Jesus is with you wherever you go. You haven't trusted Jesus Christ, obviously Jesus is not with you. And if you're listening and you don't know for sure, if you die today, if you're going to heaven, that's something you got to know. You can call this church, you can email this church and ask them from the Bible. It's not a 20-hour program or anything like that. It's very, very simple. It doesn't cost you any money. It's even better how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven and have Jesus in your ship. The Lord will always be with you, even through the great waves. In Matthew 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God will not forsake you in your storms. Let's just turn to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. God will never forsake you in your storm or your trial, or your need or your health problem or anything. Yes, people do still have health issues and God does take them home. But He can be with them through that trial, through that struggle. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, the Bible reads, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor," does anybody know the next word? "Forsake thee." He's not going to leave you no matter what you go through. No matter what trial, and all of us have gone through different things. Sometimes we look at like a teenager and we go, they haven't gone through what I have gone through. Sometimes we look at somebody that maybe has all their health together and our health is broken and stuff. We go, they're not going through much. But all of us are so different. Because as we go through life, we're not bulletproof. We're not feeling proof. You know, our feelings get hurt. And, sometimes we think, oh, these people are mean to us and they're hurting our feelings and everything. But we don't realize at the same time, you know, when we get upset and we get angry, we're hurting other people and we're causing the same cycle. But the Lord will never leave you nor forsake thee. We won't turn to it, but I'll read it. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the Bible reads, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In Psalm chapter 107, verse 28 through 31, the Bible reads, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then all they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desire haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to them, to the children of men. As I think about this, that the Lord will never forsake even a little thing of car trouble or whatever. My family, we're all in our van, older van we had, and we drove somewhere, and I was asked to preach there. And we preached, and afterwards, the storm started coming down. The water, everything. We could not see through our windshield. We're driving on a country road, and we couldn't see. And all of a sudden, my van started flashing lights within. And it's never happened before, and it was blinking, and everything was going crazy, and it was kind of losing power. And I'm like, oh, no, you know, is it the battery? Is it this? Or do we have gas in it? You know, I was hoping, you know, I had a mechanic in my van, but I didn't have one with me. But it was kind of scary. The water was coming down, and all of a sudden, the vehicle just died. And we were hours and hours away from home. And we prayed, and we tried starting it, it didn't start. And all of a sudden, we started it, and it started doing the same thing. We're starting to try to floor it and gas it, and all of a sudden, we got on the freeway, and then the van just rode perfectly. And we checked it in a shop right away. Spent a lot of money getting it all tuned up and fixed and just tried to figure out what the issue was. But that was a scary time. That was fearful. Away from home, dark country road. It was scary. The Lord will never forsake you. Number three, Jesus wants us to have faith, not fear. Jesus wants us to have faith, not fear. Oh, Brother Joshua, it's so easy for you to say. Yeah, it's easy to say when you're not going through a trial. When you're not going through a particular trial, it's a lot easier to say that. But then all of a sudden you go through it and you're like, okay, you know, I need to trust in the Lord. We need to focus on the Lord. We need to pray. We need to read the scriptures. We need to read the Bible. In verse 35, the Bible reads, as we see back in Mark chapter 4, verse 35, in the same day when even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Before I get to 38, as I read before, these disciples, these most of them professionals, I would say, being in boats, they would know what to do in a boat. I don't. I've just been in little boats and big boats, but just kind of like a passenger. I was always with somebody that knew what needed to be done on the boat. There was never any storms that I can recall ever that I've been in a boat before. But imagine how fearful they were. Imagine the water coming down. Imagine the water filling up the boat. Imagine them thinking that they're going to die and their life was not going to be over in a week. Their life was going to be over right now. And they were fearful and they were scared. And you know what happens when one person is with another person and one person has fear? Someone fearful doesn't look at the other person and go, oh, you know, they look fearful too. I'm good. No, what they do is when they become fearful, right, they look at somebody else and they're scared and they think they're going to drown and they think they're going to die. And then they look at the other person and they all look and then it's like contagious. And all of a sudden they're like scared, right? So here they came down and they went and they saw Jesus. And Jesus was fine. It didn't bother him one bit. I mean, he's just the creator. And he was there, he had a pillow, he was sleeping. I mean, he was tired. I mean, he was healing people. He was speaking. And anybody that knows, if you speak for, I've never spoke constantly for 8 hours, but I've heard other people that have been in trainings where if you speak for 8 hours, they're ready to like go and lay down and not talk to anybody. After 8 hours, you're just speaking, teaching, all those different things. And Jesus was tired. He had a human body, right? He was taking a little nap on his pillow. And they awake him. And it says, they awake him. It wasn't just one person that was scared that ran down there and awaked him. It said, they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not we perish? So it wasn't just like, hey, let's just wake him up and get him scared too. It was like, no, they came to Jesus and they knew Jesus had power. They didn't know how much power, I guess, right? We find that out in the next verse. But they spoke to Jesus and said, hey, we're going to perish. Please help us. I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe they thought about, like, if he just, like, kind of touched them, then maybe they wouldn't drown. Maybe, like, the water wouldn't affect them. I don't know what they were thinking, right? But all of a sudden, and he arose in verse 39. Wouldn't this be amazing to watch this, like, on Amazon Prime or Netflix? The real thing? I mean, they're trying to make things up, right? But to see the actual thing, when we're up in heaven, we're going to be watching the replay. Verse 39. And he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And then there was a great calm. So the disciples were very fearful because of the situation that happened. But all of a sudden, they became they feared another thing. Verse 40, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. Now, these were his disciples that he picked. And they were fearful. You know, sometimes as Christians, different situations in our life, we become fearful. Sometimes it's very easy for us to say, well, this whole pandemic thing, you know, it's just the unsaved. No, fear in my opinion, it's on both sides. People that are on their way to heaven and people that are lost. We got to have grace and not make fun of anybody, and everybody's going through a different situation in their life. You know, just a small thing. Before I found out that my kids had to be gluten-free and then my daughter has to be dairy-free and all these different things, I never made fun of anybody else that had food allergies, but I just didn't understand. And then all of a sudden, when the doctor was looking to put braces on my son, one of my sons, and looked at his airway down his throat and saw that it was so tiny, he didn't understand like how he was breathing. It was just so small. So we had him tested and they took blood and stuff, and it was really tough because this particular kid doesn't do well with that kind of stuff, right? And they got the blood and they tested it. They figured out all these food allergies, right? Probably more than they have, but anyway, we went on the safe side and tried to take everything out we could. But because we went through that situation and we were very scared, kind of fearful, right? Then we started understanding. And my point is, sometimes we see another Christian in fear and we don't understand. And we need to be very careful, right? About judging them and they just don't have faith in God, right? Got to be careful about that. Jesus wants us to have faith, not fear. Has anybody here ever, we've had people drive through a storm, has anybody driven through a whiteout? Has anybody driven through a whiteout before? Just one person in? A couple people? Okay. A few people? Okay. Some of you don't know what a whiteout is. I didn't know what a whiteout was until I drove through it, okay? All right, we got a couple people, yeah. All right, that panic, that feeling, and even if it happened for 2 seconds, it's scary, okay? So I was in Iowa a couple years ago, and we were at my grandparents' house when my grandma was alive, and we needed to go to the church Sunday night, and it was about 30 minutes away, country roads. And in Iowa, there's really no trees in this part of the area. It's all chopped down for the farm, right? So all of a sudden, when it snows and the wind blows, it covers all the roads up and you can't even see. But as you're driving, you can't see at all. So in a storm, you can kind of see, you can kind of stop and just wait. Other cars could probably see your lights blink and everything. But we went to this church, good church there, and we had a good service. And then afterwards, we decided to drive. We heard that there was going to be a storm, all that kind of things. But to me, it was like, hey, I've driven through snow before, through rain, I've driven through heat. You know, I've driven through some things. I'm not an expert, but I feel comfortable, right? So So we got the family in the car, and we started driving, and it was fine. And all of a sudden, we could not see at all. We're driving, windshield wiper going, it's snowing. You cannot see. The only thing you could see was nothing. And the scariest thing was, is we had a vehicle behind us, like, even pass us. And we were so scared, we were so fearful, even though I'm not really a fearful person, but it's scary. If it was just by myself, it's a little bit different. You're like, well, can you just kind of pull over to the side and just kind of wait till the storm happens? Because that's what a lot of people do with a storm. You can't do that. When you're on a country road, kind of a busy road, and there's not really a shoulder there, if you pull over to the side, even with your blinkers on, nobody can see you because the snow is packing up your car, and you can't see out at all. We had enough gas. I knew we were going to be okay there. And I was afraid that if I pulled over and I stopped the car and waited to try to wait out the storm, there was no overpasses or anything on these kind of semi-country roads there, then we would have been hit full speed by another vehicle. And that's scary. And so the speed limit was probably 55, and we were just driving literally like 5 miles, 10 miles per hour, and we still could not see a thing. Even as creeping, we couldn't see, and we're just trying to see, and we're trying to look at the lane, and the road was all covered up. And another scary thing is when you can't see the road, then it's very easy for you just to kind of turn over and then get into the ditch. And it was a fearful thing. It was a scary thing, right? And that's where my wife and I were up in the front seat. Of course, she was driving. I was scared. I was driving. I was driving, right? And but there's some fast women drivers out there, so that can outrun me, and maybe they're in the NASCAR or whatever. But anyway, but we were scared. We prayed to God, and through that trial, small trial, through that fearful time, we made it safe. Okay, and that doesn't always happen. The next day, I think we got to the next day. We were in a hotel, or we were at grandma's house and in a hotel. We were there, and there's this guy there that wasn't from our country. And the lady tried to tell him, like, I know you look out and it looks fine, but there's a massive storm out there. You should not go. He's like, oh, no, I'll just go find a detour. He said, I'm going to go find a detour. And I spent another night, our family in the hotel. I didn't have money for it, but I'm like, hey, there's no way. We got to wait till the storm is over. People in Iowa are just kind of used to that thing, right? Jesus wants us to have faith, not fear. And that's when Jesus said, and he said in verse 40, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Say, Brother Joshua, I don't understand. What does that mean for me? Hey, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And through trials and situations and depression, all these different things that our mind just, in our flesh just fights and wars us, we need to always turn to Jesus. We need to always realize that Jesus is in the ship with us. And through my job loss at that one time and in a family, and when my car almost broke down. It seems like I'm having a lot of car issues here. And I was through the whiteout, all these different things. God took care of me. And you're going to be going through something completely different than I am. But God will take care of you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of, does anybody know this next word? Fear. But of power and of love and of a sound mind. God will take care of you. You don't need to be fearful. Yes, we should be wise. We should be prepared. We should, think ahead and have different precautions and all those different things in our life. Yes, we shouldn't just walk out in front of the street and think that God's going to take care of us, right? He'll teach us real quick to look both ways and stop, right? As I conclude, when your ship has water in it and you're going through a trial, have faith in Jesus. Don't try to take out the water alone. Turn to Jesus. Ask Jesus for daily wisdom and faith to handle life's waves. In 1 Peter 5:7, let's turn to 1 Peter 5:7 real quick. New Testament, 1 Peter 5:7. If this is not earmarked, bookmarked, underlined, it should be. You should either memorize it or refer to it in your Bible as if you're going through something. 1 Peter 5:7. casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Our Lord is a loving and caring Savior. Cast everything on Him. Don't look to men to save you. Men fail. Look to Jesus. Luke 8:24, and they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then He arose and He rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Those other fishermen, those other disciples, they could not save themselves. Sometimes maybe you can in a situation, but in this situation, they had to lean to Jesus. And that's where Jesus was there in person, and obviously He did His miracles, which were amazing. But we need to turn to Jesus, even in the situation. Yes, we're going through this pandemic, and I know, you know, you should, you know, if you're watching the news, you're going to be really scared and fearful, and you probably will lose a lot of weight and maybe have a heart attack or something, so you should try to look at something positive. But people are constantly around you, and they want to put fear in your life. Just be careful who you're around, okay? Let's pray. Dear God, thank You for the opportunity to be here at this church, Lord. I thank You for our pastor, Lord. As we all care deeply about him and his family, Lord, we thank You for all the years of service and sacrifice and a humble man, Lord. A man that preaches Your word, Lord. And we really appreciate that, Lord. Thank You for Brother Pritchett again, Lord. I thank You for their family, Lord. And I thank You for all the people that help in this church or are in this church, Lord. I pray for all the loved ones that people really care about, that are members, that are stuck in rest homes and they can't get out, they can't see people, Lord. Help them as they're going through that issue, Lord, as they're not maybe too fearful. They're just, they're trapped. They can't get out. They can't see people, Lord. And I'm sure that's hard on them, Lord. I pray for this time, Lord, in our life, Lord. I pray that You keep us all safe. And Your name, amen.